We may complain about the way the medical industry works in America today, but it helps every so often to remember how far we've come. A century and a half ago, there were still lots of diseases that could kill us fairly quickly, diseases whose names are not even recognizable to us today. If you need a little more demonstration of the state of medicine in the 19th century, you can get one in Jacksonville tomorrow. Historic Jacksonville will host an event called Victorian Medical Practices, noon to 4 at the 1873 Beekman House. 1873 is the year, not the address. Carolyn Kingsnorth is the president of Historic Jacksonville and our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Carolyn, welcome back.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Let's deal first of all with the fact, and I managed to blow it at the top of the show myself by calling you Heritage Jacksonville instead of Historic Jacksonville. It's been quite a couple of years in historic preservation in the Jacksonville area. Can you give us the short version?
Well, the short version is that the historic buildings there used to be owned by the county, and they were transferred to the city in late 2012, I guess, really. And we took over the buildings. Well, we didn't take them over. What we realized is that unless there are activities, programs, and events taking place, all you really have are old buildings with dates on them. And so the Historic Jacksonville's mission is to bring them to life, you know, with programming and events to so that people relate to history again. Why? I think one of the things someone said to me very recently that I really want to keep emphasizing, history, it's about you.
It's about you. It's about you and the people who came before you.
That's certainly right.
All right. Let's talk about the basic story of C.C. Beekman, for whom the Beekman House is named, and his time in Jacksonville.
Well, Beekman was probably one of the most prominent pioneers in Southern Oregon. He originally came in 1853 as an express rider for Cram and Rogers. And when they went out of business, he started his own express agency. And he used to carry mail, newspapers, gold over the Siskiyous down to either Wairika or and then later Crescent City 2 to 3 times a week. I mean, a 65-mile ride over the Siskiyous, usually at night, to avoid attacks from robbers and Indians. And from there, in the process of carrying gold, he bought a safe. And he then had someone actually manage that aspect of the business. But he did a unique banking business in that he charged you to keep your gold as opposed to paying interest on it. But that became the first bank in Southern Oregon and the second bank in the Pacific Northwest, Beekman's Banking House. And he went on from there to, when Wells Fargo came in, he gave up his express agency and he became the Wells Fargo agent. And then he went on and became a real entrepreneur. I mean, he invested in real estate. He invested in mining. He invested in anything that came along. He sold insurance. He sold school books. He sold stationery. He was just, as I said, a real entrepreneur. And the Beekman House is built in 1873. He built it for his family. And it has only been owned by the one house, by the one family, only lived in by the one family, and it still remains completely furnished with family artifacts.
Are there still Beekmans living there? Or
no, Beekman, none of the children married, and so the daughter died in 1959. The house was originally left to the University of Oregon. They were going to sell it because they didn't really have any relationship down here in Jacksonville. And so the Siskiyous Pioneer Sites Foundation got a court injunction to stop it. And it went from there with transfers through city, county, and now historical society, and now back to the city.
All right, so an 1873 house still standing and still wow, owned by its original owner.
It's completely furnished with the original furnishings.
Wow, that's amazing. So how did the idea of hosting a session on Victorian medicine in the Beekman House come about?
Well, what we try to do is, because the furnishings are static, we look for ways to bring the house to life. And what we are doing is each Saturday, second Saturday of the month, from May through September, we are doing Victorian theme tours, and we're doing them in conjunction with Friends of Jacksonville's Historic Cemetery, and we're also then have the Beekman Bank open. So we do a Jacksonville History Saturday, and so there's a different topic each month. And what we try to do is look at different aspects of Victorian life through the lens of the community and the Beekman family. And so this month is Victorian Medical Practices.
Is it specific to what people might have had available in Jacksonville at the time, or are you stretching the boundaries just a bit?
Well, we certainly give reference in terms of what was going on, both nationally, internationally, around the region. But our focus is really what was happening there and how it impacted the Beekmans, how they obtained medical care, what kind of illnesses they may have suffered or how it impacted them. And we get into sanitation, health care, dietary practices. This was when the mid-1800s was when germs were first discovered. And then health care became just foremost in the Victorian's mind.
The whole germ theory of disease grew up out of that,
the whole germ theory of disease. You have to understand, at the beginning of the century, medicine was still very medieval. I mean, medical practices primarily consisted of either bleeding you or purging you.
Right. And we should point out that George Washington died just a year before 1800 and was pretty much bled to death by his doctors.
Very much so. And at the beginning of the 1800s, there were only 7 medical colleges in the United States. If you wanted to study medicine, you had to go to Europe. So you're looking at the advances that came about during this era. I laugh because one of the things they didn't know what caused things. They had the idea of miasmas, which was sort of auras, but they sort of associated with climate and air quality. So they did have that earlier on. But it wasn't until they got the germ theories and understood really what was causing medicine. One of the things that happened, and this relates to England, in 1854, a doctor there traced the source of a major cholera epidemic to a single well. And that was when they started exploring this idea of some sort of microorganism, you know, causing a lot of these diseases. And the other major thing that made a real difference in medicine during that era, in fact, some people date the birth of modern medicine to 1846, and that was when ether was first successfully used in a surgery. And before that, about the only surgeries that were done were amputations. And then you cauterized the wound, and you had about 50% chance of the person living. But you really couldn't operate on somebody because they weren't going to hold still for you to cut at them. And even with the amputations, that's where the phrase bite the bullet came from. Because you'd hold something between your teeth to
bite down hard. And they tried to work really fast, I understand.
Yes,
too.
Very much so.
Amputations happened in a matter of a couple of minutes, really.
Very much so. And one of the things that actually contributed a lot to the advancement of medicine was, ironically, the Civil War. Because you had this convening, if you will, of people from all over the country. And so they brought with them their own diseases. And actually, probably more people died in the Civil War from disease than from actual conflict. But there was a chance for doctors to look at what was going on, to do more closely study wounds. And the younger doctors actually learned a lot during that period. But one of the problems was the generals, the older surgeons, wouldn't pay any attention. So they still were not washing their hands between surgeries. They still were not changing bandages. And so it took a generation to die off before some of these practices could really be implemented.
Before the young whippersnappers could finally have their way
medicine
and do some good things. We're talking to Carolyn Kingsnorth from historic Jacksonville about the display on Victorian medical practices at the Beekman House in Jacksonville, 12 to 4, tomorrow, Saturday. Join us on the exchange if you have some questions or comments, maybe some stories you've heard about Victorian medicine are welcome here as well. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. I think what happens is when I see Victorian medical practices, I start making a face right away. So how do you keep this from being a horror show?
Well, because it's interesting, because it shows us how far we've come, for one thing. And some of the stories are actually, some are funny, some are sad. One of the things is, well, about the time Beekman came to Jacksonville, a contemporary just a couple of years later commented or wrote that there were three professional doctors in Jacksonville and 300 calling themselves doctor, because you had so many quacks. But, you know, obviously, doctors didn't know what caused disease. They couldn't do that much about it. And so quacks were as good as doctors at the time. And they would come up with all of these remedies. One of the things very prevalent at the end of the 19th century, the end of the 1800s, was drug addiction. I mean, we think we have problems. But so many of the soldiers returning from the Civil War came back addicted to opiates, from as painkillers from their wounds. And by 1900, the stat is 1 in 200 people were addicted to either opiates or cocaine.
1 in 200?
1 in 200. Well, because they gave you, those were considered great. Even Sears Roebuck sold a 4-ounce bottle of laudanum, which is primarily, it's opium and alcohol, for 29 cents.
Wow. Not you something know, you find at Sears today.
We have the advertisements for cocaine cough drops. Sorry, for kids as cough suppressants, and Bayer, our wonderful pharmaceutical company that brought us aspirin, at the same time they introduced heroin for coughs, a cough suppressant. It's a very effective cough suppressant.
Wow. Well, given the range of things then that there were, I mean, this is a big century, a Victorian era.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's start at about 1837. I think that's when Victoria ascended to the throne.
She came to the throne in 37, yes.
Okay, so that still leaves you like 63 years to play with and a whole lot of stuff that happened in there. So actually probably takes some work to kind of narrow it down a bit then, doesn't it?
Well, that's why we're doing the focus sort of through the family and through the community, because they had the full range of epidemics that came through. The family, you know, experienced... They experienced several of them, and it had impacts on them. But they would also have their own coughs, colds, eye surgery. Both Carrie and Julia Beekman wore glasses, and Cornelius did as well. And this was actually up the late 1800s was when they were developing glass and lens technology. So just all sorts of things going on. This was when exercise was also a big fad. It was during the late 1800s that you had a lot of these wellness movements. This was when Graham, who was a Presbyterian minister, he introduced vegetarianism, hydrotherapy, and he was the inventor of the Graham cracker. And then you had the Kellogg brothers coming in, doing their whole wellness and health spa, and of course creating Kellogg's cornflakes as a health food. So you have all of this stuff happening during this era, this whole century.
It's a lot of fun stuff. You know, one of the things I wanted to check, though, was what the life expectancy was at that time. And about the time that Jacksonville was peaking as the center of the Rogue Valley, the life expectancy was just nudging a little past 45.
You know, I do not know the actual statistics. Cornelius was, let's see, he was born in 28 and died in 1915. So Julia lived to be 91,
wow.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of these things, even like today, you get past a certain age, and then you have the longer life expectancy. If you haven't died by the time you're 50, you've got a good chance of making it into your 80s.
Let's take a call. We have Grumpy John and Grants Pass on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Carolyn Kingsnorth. We're talking about Victorian medical practices.
I think it's interesting, Jeffrey, that with 1 in 200 people addicted to cocaine or opium, there was not the crime problem because the drug cartels had not set up their profiteering and police state conditions. And if we took all the money that we are wasting on our control and just gave people the drugs they needed, I think the crime rate from addiction would plummet. So just wanted to point that out.
All right. Thanks for that, Grumpy John. Appreciate that. So definitely different attitudes about medication back at that time.
Well, they didn't know how addictive it was or how poisonous it was, for one thing. I mean, that was when Coca-Cola was first introduced, and it was introduced as a health tonic, and it was heavily cocaine.
That's
the coca part. We have the ads for it. It was a brain tonic. So it was a stimulant.
Well, that's, well, you know, this will probably appeal to you as a person involved in historic preservation. I was in Columbus, Georgia once. My wife's family's from there. And there are plaques pretty much all around Georgia for things having to do with Coca-Cola. And the guy who invented Coca-Cola once lived in a certain house in Columbus. And there was a plaque just for that. Nothing involving Coca-Cola had happened in that house, but he once lived there. Sort of like George Washington slept here.
Well, you know, I totally relate to that. In fact, ironically, well, when I was growing up even when I was sick in the 40s and 50s, my mother would still feed me Coca-Cola syrup to settle your stomach because you could still get the syrup. This was when, you know, yes, they were bottling it, mm-hmm. but when mother was growing up in the 19-teens, her mother would not invest in Coca-Cola stock because it was considered a dope. Because that was one of the slang. If you went to the soda fountain and wanted a Coca-Cola, you said, "Give me a dope."
Really?
Yes.
Wow. All right. So given that you have this display on Victorian medical practices at the Beekman House in Jacksonville, noon to four on Saturday, will there be any period-appropriate remedies for people who are getting overcome by the heat, for example?
Well, we're going to have lots of cold water, for one thing. We're also going to have a number of exhibits on the lawn, so we better keep them refreshed as well. We're going to have the Cascade Civil War Society. Their Civil War surgeon and nurse are bringing their medical supplies and equipment over. We're going to have a phrenology exhibit, which is skull reading, because both Cornelius and Ben had their skulls read. We have artifacts from SOU, from medical artifacts from various digs around Jacksonville.
All kinds of fun stuff. Victorian Medical Practices, noon to four at the Beekman House in Jacksonville on Saturday. And how much does it cost to get in?
It's $5 for adults, $3 for seniors and students.
All right. Carolyn Kingsnorth is with Historic Jacksonville, Inc. Thanks so much for joining us again on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. It's been fun.